Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday morning roundtable discussion. We're recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Plainfield, New Jersey, and we're so glad you could join us today. And we will start with our morning prayer.
Good morning, everybody. I'm reading from Miscellany, page 147, and the Blue Book, page 204. Let the Bible and the Christian Science textbook preach the gospel which heals the sick and enlightens the people's sense of Christian Science. This ministry, reaching the physical, moral, and spiritual needs of humanity, will in the name of Almighty God speak the truth that today, as in olden time, is found able to heal both sin and disease. Oh, may you feel the touch of the spiritual idea that is the light in your path. Mary Baker Eddy.
It's beautiful. Thank you for this beautiful lesson, subject Christian Science. Okay, Linda.
Watch number 435. Watch that you do not forget in your joy over Christian Science healing that the most significant thing about it is that it proves that the Christ has come to earth again. Although, of course, as Mrs. Eddy says on page 180 of Miscellaneous Writings, quote, Christ never left, Christ is truth, and truth is always here, the impersonal Savior, end quote.
Thank you. Comments on that? Well, I felt it goes very much so with our Bible in Luke, where Christ Jesus says, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And I used to wonder what that meant myself, and Joe wrote to that. Does anyone want to speak to what that means? We have a quiet group today.
What it means to me and what I'm grateful for is that I and all of us, we're not afterthoughts. our names are written because God created us. So.
Yes. Yeah. And what Joe wrote, you know, it goes along with the lesson about the loaves and fishes too. It's not all about the effects. It's about the fact that God is, the fact that he's life, truth, and love. It's his glorious name. This is what is important. And Joe wrote, and I'd forgotten this about Reg Carey, but when Reg Carey first visited our church, he gave a testimony which I've never forgotten. It included this verse from Luke. At the time, I was new to Christian Science and didn't completely understand what it meant. However, thanks to the teaching I've received here in this church, I now realize that if I am so preoccupied with or focused on effect, physical healings, the loaves and the fishes, or even thinking that I personally have made a demonstration, rather than focusing on cause, knowing that God has done it, I am missing all the spiritual benefit. The starting point of divine science, that God's spirit is all in all. That's Mrs. Eddy in Science and Health. And this spiritual understanding of God's allness is, and another quote from Miscellany, the heaven within us. And writes our names in heaven. This is the cause for rejoicing. I rejoice for this blessed Christian Science that we've been taught here because of the heaven within us and to know that it is available for all mankind. So this is our rejoicing for Christian Science. We are grateful for the healings. We're grateful for the loaves and fishes. But if that is what preoccupies us, we are missing it. And don't you see, and I know in my own experience, this is what preoccupies us. We want that healing. get obsessed with that healing? Well, how much gratitude have you expressed for God's unspeakable gift of Christian Science, as taught by our Master Christ Jesus, and as further explained by Mrs. Eddy? If you are truly grateful for those things, truly, deeply grateful, healings will come. Healings are the manifestation of this, of our joy and gratitude for it, and our seeking to understand it more. This is putting the horse before the cart. Otherwise, when the cart's before the horse, nothing happens. So remember this. We can be so grateful for God's unspeakable gift in Christian Science. And lovely theme of all things, or the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. And this is a good thing to be knowing these days, isn't it?
Yes.
Because right now we seem to have, and perhaps it's always been true, you know, in what we call impossible situations, impossible to men, but possible to God. And as I think I've told you, I mean, last summer in praying, I can see almost the distant, it's what's in the future in some ways. I just got this dark cloud over this time now. And, of course, the sun is still shining, and we as Christian Scientists know this, and God's presence and power are with us. And this is, what did you say, Carol? Because you heard people saying, oh, 2020 was such a horrible year. What did you tell them?
That 2020 was a time that a lot of people woke up and saw things that they haven't seen before, and came to realize that what we have and what we've been doing is not the answer. And I also read a short thing yesterday that said 2020 is also perfect vision.
That is so true. Yeah. Wow, why didn't I ever think of that? Well, that's wonderful.
And that if people's vision deviates from 2020, they get AIDS to help them. And that's what this year has been. Mm-hmm. It's been the AIDS to help people see correctly what really is true and what's going on.
Yes, and what is always, thank you, that's beautiful. What is always going on is God revealing himself to us. And sometimes that seems to be tumultuous, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. And what do we know? We know, we say it over and over, trials are proofs of God's care. That if we've been so much asleep for so long in so many ways, deeply in materialism, and it takes sometimes thunderous things to happen to get us to wake up. So we can rejoice in that awakening. Florence, did you want to say something?
No, I'm agreeing with what you're saying. And I think there's a line in page 204 also of Blue Book that is so good, I feel. It says, I look to God my Father to see what I am. He alone shall tell me of myself. I think it's so beautiful because God already has done everything perfect, and he sustains and maintains it, as we read in Science and Health. So I think sometimes we need to just take the time to know what God has already done and rejoice in that, as you were saying earlier, because that doesn't change. And it, yes, we don't look to matter for our health or anything, but we look up to him, and he will tell us always who we already are.
And that is having 2020 vision, which is perfect vision, according to that is seeing perfect God, perfect man, perfect universe. And this is our sacred duty and honor as Christian Scientists to do. Now, a while ago, Dale...
And that's all there is to healing. Mm-hmm. Is there anything more to healing than that?
No.
Mm-hmm. A little bit ago, Dale W. From Virginia sent me something that was very helpful, good. I'll just read part of it. It refers to Isaiah 9:7 in the Bible, and it's according to Matthew Henry. Now, Isaiah 7:9. Oh, sorry, wrong chapter. Isaiah 9, verse 7 is, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom in order it, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then in Matthew Henry, I'll just read the first part. I think I'll have Jeremy compost it on the carousel because it's healing for now. Glorious things are here spoken of Christ's government, that it shall be an increasing government. It shall be multiplied. The bounds of his kingdom shall be more and more enlarged, and many shall be added to it daily. The luster of it shall increase, and it shall shine more and more brightly in the world. The monarchies of the earth were each less illustrious than the other, so that what began in gold ended in iron and clay, and every monarchy dwindled by degrees. But the kingdom of Christ is a growing kingdom and will come to perfection at last, that it shall be a peaceable government, agreeable to his character as the Prince of Peace. He shall rule by love, shall rule in men's hearts, so that wherever his government is, there shall be peace. And as his government increases, the peace shall increase. That's just the first part. But isn't that beautiful? And isn't that what we all want? We might seek it in various ways, but if we know this is our goal, this is what we pray for, we can bring it to pass, just as the Christ child was brought to pass by the group of sincere metaphysicians during the Roman Empire. And we can unite together in this prayer, which were, you know, Dede's beautiful readings about unity. And there's a beautiful article on the website, Eustace article, on unity. Because in unity, there is strength. But we must put aside all our differences, our political this and that, because the ultimate, what we ultimately, we all want is the reign of Christ. And there are various ways to get there, probably, but who are we to know really what they are? Let us have a little humility in that. What we all do want, however, is truth with a capital T, and to know truly what is going on. You know, even in Mrs. Eddy's day, she referred to yellow journalism, didn't she? Which is why she did what?
Formed her own newspaper.
Yes, formed her own newspaper. But, you see,
that's why we have our own noteworthy news section on our on our website.
Yes. But you see, as people slept, Era's been busy and has gone in and taken off various forms of everything, all parts of our nation and the world. It's been busy while people slept. What is it, that quote about the only chance Era has is that good people do nothing, or something like that? So, yeah. And you see, we saw it firsthand here in this church with the organization. When we were in the organization, we didn't see it. But because it's very mesmerizing and you trust everybody and everything to be doing the right thing. But then when all of this happened to us, it was like, wow, goodness me. And as we've been taught here, as goes the Christian Science movement, goes the nation, goes the world. So, but here we are. It only takes a few, takes a remnant. And
to work together.
To work together, yes, with love.
I want to read a little something Mrs. Eddy writes again in 1907. She says, There are three things to keep before us continually: to have one God, one mind, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and do unto others as we would have others do unto us. To have one mind means for all to work alike. Not you work in your work, and I work in my work, but work together, that's stressed. It is time for us today to be Christian scientists and keep these points before us by asking ourselves these questions every time before doing anything. The Blue Book, page 31.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Good old Blue Book comes again to our rescue. So there we are. And I know, you know, in reading more and more about Mrs. Eddy in those early days and how she sometimes it would be despairing to see her church breaking off in factions. And even with the First Church of Christ Scientists, Augusta Stetson's church, and then the second church, Laura Lathrop's church, all a little fighting about it and who's better and who's greater and who's this and who's that. And la, 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 la. That was going on when she was here. So sometimes I've wondered, my goodness, if a church can't keep itself together, she does say somewhere too, when where Christian Scientists learn to love each other, we'll have no need for church. So then we come to another very important point in this lesson that Louise wrote about, and it's in the responsive reading. It's also later on. In number 4 in the Bible, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. And then in citation 4 in the Bible, Jesus said, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Citation 5 in the Bible. So, we've talked about this before, what it is to ask in my name, in the Christ name. So, anyone want to speak to that? Well,
I just want to say, I don't remember where it was from. It probably actually was just from the round table, but talking about how name and nature are sort of the same, you know.
That's right. That's exactly right. And in Louise's blog or forum, she writes, in the name of asserts reputation and authority of another person. Name implies reputation, character, quality, essential nature of the individual. Name may be rendered nature, implies that to have his nature as a result of abiding in his words or teaching is the condition requisite to bringing about an answer to prayer, having the Christ-like nature. Very important, all right? I'm bringing this out because this is an extension of our talk about watching last week's roundtable. And then she also quotes Spurgeon, "You are authorized to use the name of Christ. Oh, what power there is in a prayer at that time. But you cannot ask everything in that name. You are obliged to draw back from some prayers and say, no, Christ would never authorize me to put his name to that. For we would not dare to ask some things in that wondrous name." And then from an A.B. Lever, "Only a divine purpose can be asked in Jesus' name."
That's the righteous prayer.
Mm-hmm. That's the righteous prayer, yes. We have to have a purity of motive. So when you get this personal sense of prayer, you're not asking in the Christ name, and your prayer will not be answered. It has to be so pure. And you can't outline what you want God to do. We can pray for the reign of Christ on earth, yes, and we can pray for whatever is righteous to get us there. But when we start to outline and get personal about it, we get flubbled up. And then this is to the watchers that we have. And we have this after every watch we do. Jeremy put it on there, thank God, because it is so important. And this is from Watches, Prayers, and Arguments given by Mary Baker Eddy, page 49. Hear, O Israel, for the Lord our God is one God. You are not to come in your own name to pray. Bingo. You are not to come in your own name to pray. I am not to come with Mary's ideas of what should be done. I've got to yield myself to God's will. You are not to control any mind. You are to come only in the divine strength and know that God will rule and does. Now, this is key. And that hypnotism and evil minds cannot and do not control men or governments. Because, sweethearts, this is what's going on. But we can know this truth and let God work and let God do the work here, there, everywhere. And as Florence says often, let the error be exposed wherever it is, let it come out. And honestly, at this point, I've said it many times, the truth has gotten so, I mean, there are so many false prophets. The media is not to be trusted. Mrs. Eddy has said, and I looked it up this week too, trust in truth, what?
And no other trust.
And have no other trust. At this point, it's only truth you can trust. And what I'm giving you is pure truth. So you are not to come in the divine strength and know that God will rule. You are to come only in the divine strength and know that God will rule and does, and that hypnotism and evil minds cannot and do not control men or government. All power is God good. This is my only formula to Christian Scientists for prayer. And then, and God will give you faith that will remove mountains. That is what we need, is the faith to know that this will come to pass and that this prayer is a righteous, pure prayer, and God will take care of the results. And it will be revealed. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. And that brings me to the Messiah, which I love. And I've always wondered, you know, why when I listen to it, I feel like I've entered heaven. And our dear friend Parthens, who has written so many wonderful forum contributions, we have a whole section of them, don't we, Jeremy?
We do.
And Sharon is working very healing. And so Linda found one from, this was from 2014, and about Handel. I thought it was beautiful.
Parthens gave us this background on the Messiah. He said, quote, after Handel received the
libretto
to the Messiah, made up entirely of sacred scripture, he was inspired to take no action whatsoever, but instead decided to devote his attention to God for a season. As it turns out, Handel sat for 3 days in an altered state of consciousness without eating or drinking. He appeared so completely inactive that his servants, steeped in sense, became extremely concerned, thinking him dead. But thanks to a wise physician, no one touched him. Later, Handel testified that during those 3 days, he had been taken to heaven and, quote, absent from the body and present with the Lord, end quote, in a state of continual Christ consciousness. After that experience, he wrote the massive score of the Messiah in just 21 days. He never charged a penny for any of the performances, insisting that the work was not his, that he was only the secretary of heaven's musical dictation. End quote of that part of that story.
Wow.
Do you feel like you're in heaven?
That's why I feel like I'm in heaven. Yes.
Also 3 days, huh? Interesting.
3 days at number three. And, you know, the story of Esther, too, when she, when they were going to, what, they were going to annihilate the Jewish race, Haman, and she retreated and did nothing but deep, deep prayer. And what resulted was Haman. What happened to Haman?
He was killed.
Yeah, he was killed.
He was killed instead of Mordecai. They even built a gallows for Mordecai, and guess who it was used for?
Yes. The wicked shall not go unpunished, all right? The wicked will not go unpunished. Go ahead, Florence.
No, I was going to say, what you prepare for to harm someone comes to you. So.
It does. These are all our rules from the Sermon on the Mount. It's what Florence read in, from the Blue Book. Those were from the Sermon on the Mount, wasn't it? And if we stay with those rules, we will be safe. We will be in that secret place of the Most High. But I was so greatly touched by that story of Handel. And all these years, I never knew it. I never heard of it. I loved the music. My goodness, we would sing it in our choir in high school. And I don't know if some of you have seen. Somebody sent me a few Christmases ago, but where people would be out shopping, and this was when everyone was out shopping, and suddenly there would be a group of people who would start sing the Hallelujah chorus. Have you ever seen those YouTube things? And my gosh, everyone stopped what they were doing and just sang their hearts out. Praise to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Flash mobs for the music. That's what they would do.
Yes.
They call them.
Yeah.
Suddenly have a huge group.
Yes.
The only good one I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Good flash.
Yes. Well, what it did was it got people off their materialism and shopping and praising God. He took those beautiful words of the Nativity and put them to this amazing music. And it will transport you. It's just so beautiful. I play it all year round, but I also play it especially at Christmas. Gary listens to it. Because at times it just is so inspiring. And that is such an inspiring story to think that and how he just sat and wrote. And that was true. This is Eddie talks about Beethoven too. Even though he was deaf, he could hear the most beautiful things and could just sit, and it would just come pouring out of him as science and health came pouring out of her.
Yeah.
So this is the being not in the human mind, but in the divine mind. And we do hear the angelic voices. They're surrounding us always, angels speaking to us. And we have the listening ear that will hear them. The ready ear to the overture of angels, Mrs. Eddy says. And that, if you have that, you will never be deaf. So make sure you are spending time listening to God's voice. And the other part of your forum, Linda, was about Judge Hannah. And what was that about?
Parthens put in part of the story where Judge Hannah asked Mrs. Eddy for something. It goes, quote, "In 1898, when work had accumulated to such an extent that I, Judge Hannah, wrote Mrs. Eddy for permission to resign some of my places. She asked me to adopt a method of relief by taking certain hours each day for self-work, during which I was not to be interrupted by anyone for any purpose. She said that had she not adopted such a course, she could never have accomplished her work." End quote. And that was from an excerpt from Judge Hannah's memoirs, which is on our website. Do you want me to read what little piece that I liked from Parthens? There's a link to Parthens' whole article there, but this is the part I loved. Parthens writes, "Therefore, whenever I am tempted to feel overwhelmed with the work that heaven has assigned me to perform, may God help me to interrupt myself, to consecrate every moment, every breath, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, to the task of surrendering, giving up possession of a little more of the earthly kingdom of self-expressing selfhood, and that every surrendered portion may be in God's possession and thus translated into Christ expressing selfhood."
Thank you. So when things are so busy right now and there's so much going on, we seem to turn it all off and get quiet with the Father. And what is he saying? Listen. Listen, he speaks directly to each of us. And as in so many instances that we study in the Bible, we have been studying God's presence and power with us. We can bring it to pass, all good. And the truth will become so evident that everyone will see it. That's what I pray for. So there's no more of this one and that one. Let it be revealed so we don't have to argue about it, but it'll be very evident.
The impersonal Savior.
The impersonal Savior, yes.
I just wanted to say one thing about the Judge Hannah. We had just seen one of the long year videos, and in it, Mrs. Eddy told someone that, you know, he could knock on the door, on her door until 11, but after 11, she won't be knocked at by anyone. She said something like that. I thought that was really, really funny. She used that time to pray for the world. So.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, with the phones and everything buzzing, and it's so easy to be interrupted. And we must have this time. I love to, that's why I love to read history and biographies and things. I think of that biography in John Adams. They had all this time to write these letters, and they would go horseback riding. But in the middle of storms, he would get on his horse and ride his horse all the way from Braintree.
Near Boston to all the way to Pennsylvania.
I mean, I just find that, wow. Those were our hardy forefathers, as Mrs. Eddy calls them. And they were always, always prayerful, church, everything, everything went back to God, always. This is what has been lacking. And this is why we're having this shaking, as Haggai tells us. So, and I was very struck, and this goes along with what we're saying, in Chronicles, citation 7 in the lesson, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Seek the Lord and his strength. We all need strength, don't we? Physical strength, mental strength.
Moral strength.
Thank you. Moral strength. Particularly at this time, people who are willing to speak out, even despite all the threats.
And what does it mean to seek his face?
Seek his presence. To seek his presence. Face means presence, doesn't it?
Right, but isn't it also how you recognize someone?
Yes.
Doesn't it help you? You think about someone, you think about what they look like. Mm-hmm. What does God look like?
Does he feel like God-like?
Yeah, Mrs. Eddy says it. Instructs us to learn of God, learn more about God. Who he is. She also says that we can't know any more about ourselves than what we know of God. Right?
True, because we are his manifestation. So how can we? Yeah, absolutely.
If I want to know who I and what I am, I first have to know something about God. Otherwise, I know nothing.
Yeah.
You know, that's where people can get so bollocked up and not knowing or thinking they know what God is, and then they don't. That's where Mrs. Eddy comes in with such strength and power to teach people what God truly is. Because when you don't know what God is and you fear him or you think he's a God of wrath or all kinds of things, it can bollocks up your whole life. Craig, were you going to say?
A lot of times it says in the Bible, let the Lord's let his face shine upon thee. And it was a wonderful benediction. And so I started to think that meant that he was extremely happy with you, if his face shined and a lot of goodness would be in your experience. And that's all I could bring about how his countenance and face are similar.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Very good.
So you seek his face, it's always shining on you. It's a benevolent benevolence. Of course, we know it's not a real face, but sometimes we use these analogies to help us understand him more. But it's just that shining benevolence, love, approval, and seek it continually, not just in the morning or not just on Sundays or not, but continually. And then I turn, this is Miscellaneous Writings, page 115, where Mrs. Eddy says, the increasing necessity for relying on God to defend us against the subtler forms of evil turns us more unreservedly to him for help. And this becomes a means of grace.
I think of Mrs. Eddy's hymn, O Gentle Presence, Peace and Joy and Power. I think of God as the gentle presence.
Yes. Yeah, Mrs. Eddy's hymns are so healing. To sing those, be familiar with them, are so very, very much important, very important. Her words are healing. Everyone should know them by heart. If you don't, you should. But again...
Yeah, can I stop for a second? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
You know, when I had young children, I would, you know, I was totally into just the Christian Science way. And I would just, if they would wake up in the middle of the night crying and, you know, or they felt hot, I would just put them in my lap, and sing one of the hymns. What really happened was singing that hymn took the fear away from me. I mean, this is like 10 or 15 minutes. The child was in well. I put him back, you know, in the crib, and I went to bed. And I did that with both of my kids, and it worked their whole young years.
Yeah. And how many mothers have done that?
And I can't go to sleep when I start trying to go to sleep. I sing hymns and then I go to sleep.
Yeah, right, true. It's true.
Yeah, I think the hymns are, we probably don't use them as much, but I find every problem that comes, there is a hymn that addresses it, really.
Yes.
There is a,
Yes, there is a hymn. And I've given it before and I'll give it again, not today, but that Blessed Christmas Morn. The way that Mrs. Eddy used that for suffering people is absolutely beautiful. It is on the website. Each verse she takes is penetrating and healing. It is beautiful.
And I'm sure that's why the Book of Psalms is one of the larger books of the Bible. Right?
Yes.
Because that's what they are. That's what they have done for mankind for many centuries.
So, and this is, again, while we are being forced now, some people, I heard from someone just, oh, he's about to jump off a cliff, because everywhere he goes, everybody's talking about the nameless nothing. And well, this is the point of it, is it to make us seek God even more, more so, commune with him, strengthen ourselves in seeking him continually, seeking his face continually. It's the only answer. There's no other way. You can't find it any other way. It's not going to work. This is the only answer. Thank God we have it. Thank God we share it. I was so happy because now we're going toward 4,000 subscriptions on YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we are reaching out to more and more people. And our dear friend, we have this friend in Nairobi, Corinne, and everyone she meets, she sends, sounds like she's sending them our website. So, and this is the missionary work we are doing. But
it's just funny. We have somebody in Africa as a missionary for us.
Yes.
We didn't ask for it. It just happened.
Again, I know. We don't ask. It happens. And all the wonderful translators, which I'm so grateful for. And, yeah, we've heard that the translation of the languages, Hindi and Urdu and others, that Napoleon's doing a good job. And Florence, what did you say about that? As long as what? With these languages?
With the translations maybe not being perfect, but...
Oh, I mean the truth in it?
Yes.
Yeah, the truth in it will not be changed. Mrs. Eddy already says so. Nothing can change it. So I'm sure... I mean, even if it's not perfectly done in the language, the spirit in it, the truth in it, that goes through. People feel that, and that's enough.
Well, thank you very much for that. Because trying to get every word perfect, we know that's pretty impossible, and Mrs. Eddy would prefer people to read it in English, if they know English, but those who don't know English, even if, as Florence said, the spirit of it, or just to think about God being a God of love, God being all. Those are basic things that some people have never heard of before. And that truth is the leaven of truth going out about all the world. And it is changing, and it will bring upon us peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It will. It has to, because this is God's doing. How could it not? And then Carrie sent me some, she was struck in the lesson. There's a lot about believing, the word believing. And she said, this is a season about believing. The lesson talks many times about believing. I'm so grateful that the word believing is connected with Christmas. And looking up something to further define believe, I found this on the internet. This is the Nelson's Bible Dictionary. Defines faith as a belief in or confident attitude toward God involving commitment to his will for one's life. Nelson also says that belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. A person who believes is one who takes God at his word and trusts in him for salvation. Now, I've thought a lot because in Science and Health, Mr. Seti talks about believing versus understanding. And of course, understanding is the most important thing. But very interestingly, and this is one of the definitions we were asked to memorize in the glossary, page 582. This is Eddie she defines believing firmness and constancy, not a faltering or blind faith, but the perception of spiritual truth. That's the true sense of believing when it's mentioned in the Bible. And then she also says mortal thoughts and illusion, which is the false sense of it, where you...
Human belief.
But the true sense is wonderful. Think of that, firmness and constancy. And do you have it? Not a faltering or blind faith, but the perception of spiritual truth. There are so many times, as we've said, where you have to obey, perhaps without understanding. But then... the understanding comes, doesn't it? So.
And that takes courage. Stand when you don't fully understand, but you know in your gut that something is right. and to give it the time to let it play out is hard, but it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, it is. And your spiritual sense will always guide you in that regard, won't it?
Yeah. And I thought it was so sweet, you know, in the story of the loaves and fishes, and Anne brings out that the little lad, the little boy, says, "There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And that's what Andrew's saying. But the little boy, Anne says, "I was thinking about the unnamed boy with the loaves and fishes in this week's lesson. His part in the story is small, but he was willing to give his lunch, a generous thought and act, which showed more faith than the disciple Andrew. His offering, despite the human suggestion that his contribution would not go far, was blessed and multiplied by the Christ to the benefit of all. This is very encouraging and shows that even if we think our contribution to a watch or our good thought about a challenging situation is only modest, it can be blessed by the Christ and help many." That is so beautiful. That goes back to Tom's Bible study about, you know, just...
Is that like Mrs. Eddy, what she says about the drop of rain, if it's not, what am I, you know, not enough or something?
Yes.
I think it's those works, yes.
I will tarry in the spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Message
but, is over to you.
Yes, and she said, we must never withhold what we have to give. Yeah. Because you don't know how God will bless it. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard, you know, there's been some simple little testimony given and people will say, oh my gosh, that blessed me so much. Yeah, that is in Pulpit and Press on page 3-4. Perhaps some of you may say the evidence of spiritual verity in me is so small that I am afraid. I feel so far from victory over the flesh that to reach out for present realization of my hope savors temerity. Because of my own unfitness for such a spiritual animus, my strength is naught and my faith fails. And then she says, O thou weak and infirm of purpose, Jesus said, be not afraid. What if the little rain should say, so small a drop as I can ne'er refresh a drooping earth, I'll tarry in the sky. And then she ends with, a single drop of water may help hide the stars or crown the tree with blossoms. So don't withhold what you think you have to give, how small it might be. That dear little boy, think of what he did. And the disciple Andrew said, oh, that will never amount to anything. So even don't even listen to the naysayers. If God is telling you to do something, you should do it, period. So, and then this is in Science and Health, and this was Mrs. Evans' mother. It was her favorite passage from Science and Health. It's citation 2 on page 180. When man is governed by God, the ever-present mind who understands all things, man knows that with God all things are possible. The only way to this living truth, which heals the sick, is found in the science of divine mind, as taught and demonstrated by Christ Jesus. You know, so to me, I think that, to me, that tells me when I think that something isn't possible to God, guess what? I'm not being governed by God. I'm being governed by mortal mind, just like that little lad gave the loaves and fishes. He was governed by God. So anytime you think things are impossible or the world's a mess and what in the world are we going to do, you're not being governed by God. So smack yourself on the face. And it is the ever-present mind who understands all things. As you declare that mind, you will have faith. Because God doesn't tell you, Mary, this is God, and you don't, you know, things are impossible, and you can't understand a darn thing. Does God say that? Of course not. God is telling you, I am God and all things are possible, and you can understand this truth.
And he teaches you to pray. You had that in the watch yesterday.
Yes, and he teaches you to pray. So this is, I could go on for hours. This is a beautiful lesson. Roseanne wrote beautifully to how this lesson touched her so, more than probably anything else she's ever read. Here again, don't hold back your blessings, lesson writers and others. We're going to try to keep it impersonal and not tell people who wrote what, because ultimately we know God is writing the lessons. So today I will end Miscellaneous Writings, Vainglory, starting on page 269. Lives there a man who can better define ethics, better elucidate the principle of being, than he who spake as never man spake, and whose precepts and example have a perpetual freshness in relation to human events? We are in the valley of decision. Then let us take the side of him who overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, of such as barter integrity and peace for money and fame. What artist would question the skill of the masters in sculpture, music, or painting? Shall we depart from the example of the master in Christian Science, Jesus of Nazareth? Than whom mankind hath no higher ideal? He who demonstrated his power over sin, disease, and death is the master metaphysician. To seek or employ other means than those the master used in demonstrating life scientifically is to lose the priceless knowledge of his principle and practice. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Gain a pure Christianity, for that is requisite for healing the sick. Then you will need no other aid and will have full faith in his prophecy. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. But the word must abide in us if we would obtain that promise. We cannot depart from his holy example. We cannot leave Christ for the schools which crucify him and yet follow him in healing. Fidelity to his precepts and practice is the only passport to his power, and the pathway of goodness and greatness runs through the modes and methods of God. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you all.
You can't go without that passport.
you gotta have that passport, and your name is on it, and your picture too. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.